Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a god of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you want to lose weight and do it sort of biblically, well, you've come to the right place. This is Wretched Radio. Fortis Institute is pleased to announce the Cupbearer Diet. That's right. The Cupbearer Diet, guaranteed to help you lose 7 pounds in 3 days when you don't have a cupbearer to taste test your food, which was not prepared properly to the right temperature. And you get food poisoning while you're flying from Dallas to Atlanta, circling the airport 7 times because of the storm, and then getting diverted down to Pensacola. Wah and la, the next thing you know, you've dropped 7 pounds. So if you would like to lose weight and think you're doing it based on the Bible, please visit fortisinstitute.org/.
So it's biblical.
Well, as biblical as it needs to be.
As it needs to be.
Must I remind you of the Daniel diet? That sold like hotcakes.
It sure did.
And so I'm telling the cupbearer, I don't know how empirical the Daniel diet was. I know it wasn't biblical. The Daniel diet was intended to help you lose weight. And if you actually read the text of Daniel chapter 1, the boys go on the diet, which is never really listed inside of the Bible, and they gained weight. Nevertheless, the Daniel diet plan, it should have been the Daniel weight gain program. But hey, if somebody can do that with Daniel, I can do that with Genesis. Because, you know, there is a story about the cupbearer in the story of Joseph and Pharaoh. So I have as much biblical support as the next diet peddler. Pick up your Fortis Institute cupbearer diet plan. FortisInstitute.org/. Had to get an IV again.
You had to get an IV. It was that bad.
Dude.
Wow.
But at least it happened in an airplane that never landed. It just was absolutely delightful. But I reminded myself of the conservative comfort word that we all use whenever we hear somebody has a malady. I simply applied it to myself and said sovereignty. And then I didn't feel so bad at all. Hey, despite our disastrous diet plan that we were both on, don't buy the seafood on sale. There's a little tip for you. That one is absolutely free. Never buy the seafood on sale. There's a reason they're trying to get rid of it. And you say, well, what if we cooked it that day? Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. That's when we got food poisoning the first time 30 years ago. Bought the shrimp that day, got sick that day from the seafood. So now, after experiencing the success of getting food poisoning 2 times, I'm telling you, the Fortis Institute Cupbearer Diet Plan works. However, there are some hold on, wait. Hold on! Breaking news! Breaking news! While Mrs. Friel and I were busy being deathly ill, some great news came out of the Supreme Court. Although I have to confess, I find it a bit mysterious. I understand that the Founding Fathers, they established 3 branches of government for the sake of balance to make sure that nobody becomes, you know, like King George. And the Supreme Court was to make sure that the legislature was making law that passed constitutional muster. I'm not a legal scholar. Friel, there couldn't be anything more obvious. But it seems to me the Supreme Court is almost like a legislative body these days. They make rulings and the entire nation goes, okay, I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. Like just all of these rulings on marriage, on Roe v. Wade, etc. I do not understand the amount of power that the Supreme Court has. Nevertheless, this last week, they actually exercised that power in a way that I think should make Christians rejoice. That's right. We can actually rejoice. We can be happy about some of these decisions because all of them, well, one of them, arguably, depending on which side of the scale that you're on, all of them were in favor of religious liberty. And yet, I did find myself scratching my head a wee bit. One of the biggies was out of a Maryland case because the parents didn't want the kids to be getting exposed to the LGBT-themed curriculum. And this was a diverse, this was an unbiblically ecumenical group of people that got together. It was Muslims and Christians and conservative Jewish people got together to say, hey, we do not want our kids sitting in a classroom when this is being taught. We want to be able to pull them. And that's where I could just kind of go, I don't get that. Not that I don't get that the parents want to pull their kids from the school. I don't get why we need permission. I send my kid to school voluntarily. And if I don't want my kid learning anything there, I can pick them up and drop them off all day, every day if I want to. I'm the parent. And the school should be there to serve us. This, to me, indicates the big educational industrial complex has way more power than it should. This had to go to the Supreme Court. This is from Justice Alito. A government burdens the religious exercise of parents when it requires them to submit their children to instruction that poses a very real threat of undermining their religious beliefs and practices. Amen to that. But I don't think that the school system should even come close to being able to flex that muscle. A government cannot condition the benefit of free public education on parents' acceptance of such instruction. Thank you for that. And this is another instance where please note, there are good educators out there. There are good, godly people that are inside of the public school system. And I'm grateful for each and every one of them. But the whole system thinks that they can teach our kids whatever they want. And how dare we parents think that we can pull them out for religious reasons? This is more from Alito. The practice of educating one's children in one's religious belief, like all religious acts and practices, receives a generous measure of protection from our Constitution. And this is not merely a right. This is important language. This is not merely a right to teach religion in the confines of one's own home. That's Hillary Clinton. Oh, you can practice your religion at home, but you have the right to worship. Not religious liberty enshrined in the Constitution, but you can go to your church and worship. Just keep it there. Back to Alito. It extends to the choices that parents wish to make for their children outside the home. Now along comes Justice Sonia Sotomayor with her dissenting opinion, along with Ketanji Brown Jackson and Elena Kagan. That the majority opinion invents a constitutional right to avoid exposure to subtle themes contrary to the religious principles that parents wish to instill in their children. You know, subtle themes like Billy can be Betty. You know, subtle things like that. You don't have the right to be protected from those things at the school that you pay an exorbitant amount of taxes to support. You don't have that right. I don't. I got to tell you, this to me is akin to the industrial complex of the education system, is akin to the mental health industrial complex. It flexes so much money. Was just reading, there's another big case I think that is coming up. I don't know if it's going to be Supreme Court level, but it was in somewhere in the Northeast. They're trying to get a handle on mental health and insurance, that insurance has to cover anybody's mental health diagnosis. And as we've been hearing now for weeks here, courtesy of Dr. Greg Giffert and his book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, there's no scientific testing for mental health. Instead, they ask a couple of questions and then they give a prescription, they give a label, and then the school gets more funding, the doctor gets more money, and the insurance company has to pay for it, which means you and I have to pay for it. And there's finally somebody piping up and going, no. Right now, mental health payouts are, I don't know if they're surpassing, but they're starting to get really close. physical ailments. So surgeries and cancers and heart issues, the amount of money that gets spent to keep people alive, spending as much or more for mental health, whatever that means these days. Sotomayor concludes, requiring schools to provide advance notice and the chance to opt out of every lesson plan or story time. Story time. A dude dressed up like a girl. By the way, you've heard of drag queens. Jimmy, did you know that there's such a thing as drag kings?
What?
Yeah, there's drag kings.
I had no idea.
Just go ahead and Google it at your own risk. I'm just telling you. I was taught that last week. There's women who dress up in a stereotype of men, and every guy should look at it and go, that's not what a dude looks like. Ditto when it comes to drag queens. To allow parents to opt them out of story time might implicate a parent's religious beliefs will impose impossible administrative burdens on schools. The harm will not be borne by educators alone. Children will suffer too in the grandest act of irony perhaps in human history. That from Justice Sotomayor. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, Fortis Institute has been building something powerful, a reservoir of biblical truth deep enough to change lives and strong enough to transform churches. But we've realized something very profound. Truth was never meant to be contained. It was meant to flow freely, reaching every single person, every hungry heart, every searching mind. And that's why we're doing something unprecedented. We're breaking the dam. Truth Unhindered isn't just a campaign name. It's our vision for the future. It's about removing every barrier between solid teaching and those who need it the most. We have extraordinary plans for the second half of 2025, but to make this moment possible, we need your partnership now more than ever. Right now, through the end of June, every gift you give will be matched. Your generosity today becomes a flood of truth tomorrow. Just visit FortisInstitute.org/truth right now before June 30th and help us break the dam and let the truth flow unhindered. FortisInstitute.org/truth.
Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah. Yep, leave it to a talk show host to get this one sorted. This is Wretched Radio. The mystery has been solved. Hopefully you're rejoicing. A number of Christian liberty advancements, courtesy of the Supreme Court last week, has many of us celebrating, but nobody explaining why. Why are we seeing so many positive victories from the Supreme Court? Well, I, Todd, your ever-shrinking talk show host, I can't stop losing weight from the, what do they call it? The cup bear diet?
Yeah.
The cup bear. Woo! Does it work? And work. And work. Well, I have got the mystery solved.
Why?
White House Faith Office. Paula White and some other ladies out in the front lawn of the White House taking dominion, baby.
We just thank you right now, Lord, from the east, the west, the north, and the south. You will shake America with your power and your glory. We cancel every assignment of the enemy.
Oh, wait a second. Could you interpret that language? I don't know what that was all about. We cancel every assignment of the enemy. When is that canceling? What is the expiration date on the canceling? Apparently about 30 seconds, because the enemy has been canceled. He's been bound. He's been duct taped. Nothing seems to keep that hedge from being jumped over by the unbound enemy who's been bound with hedges built all around him about a bazillion times. Jimmy, I think I might have this mystery solved too. Have you seen that commercial where they blow up the boat and then they put it back together again with some sort of super tape? And then they get in the boat and they travel across the lake.
Yeah, the Flex Seal.
Yeah, we need to get that to the White House Faith Office. And we need the Flex Seal?
Flex Seal is what it's called.
Is that
what? Flex Tape.
Yeah, we need to get the binders some of that Flex Tape so that once and for all, that demon can be bound for good.
This nation was birthed to be one nation under God. And we are standing on the soil of the White House. And we are declaring your word. Every place in our foot will trod, you will give it to us.
Wow, every place our foot will trod, you will give it to us. What are you hearing? You're hearing dominionism. This is a massive movement, not just the New Apostolic Reformation movement, which is indeed, I think, one of the great leaders. In fact, I'm not the only one to have thought this. January 6th, you know, the worst day in American history was in great part due to the influence of the New Apostolic Reformation Dominion Movement. We have got to take dominion of this nation, the seven mountains of authority and power, so that Jesus will return. In other words, it's eschatological. And you are hearing the prayers of a dominionist.
And we are taking the land. Jesus. We thank you, O Lord. You have brought us to the kingdom for a time such as this, yes. And this is the time. And so we declare right now from the capital of our nation that America will come back to God. Yes. We will come back to God.
They're declaring it. How many times do you need to declare something before it's been done? Just one. Can Flex Seal help with that?
Nothing will stop this nation. And we speak right now by the authority of heaven. You told us to bring heaven to earth. Mm-hmm. Heaven is being released from your people right now.
Bringing heaven to earth. That is the goal of the dominionist, to prepare the planet for Jesus to determine everything is now acceptable. I'm going to return. In other words, dominionism is eschatological. It is driven, at least in part, by end times theology, the belief that our job as Christians is to make the world a better place, and then Jesus will determine it's time to descend. And until then, we got to get busy taking over the seven mountains of authority, of power, of dominion, and then Jesus will return. That is what you just heard being proclaimed, and it is a very large movement led in part by the New Apostolic Reformation movement. However, and perhaps surprisingly, it doesn't appear to just be in NAR circles. The Presbyterian Church of America just held their 52nd General Assembly in lovely Chattanooga, Tennessee. Very good foodie. By the way, Jimmy, we were just in Fort Worth, Texas. There's another keeper. I liked Fort Worth. Dallas is shiny and spanky, and wow, it is the big D. But I'm telling you, Fort Worth, it's just a preference thing. It's got that charm to it. It's Western. It's got a vibe to it. And it's so calm compared to Dallas and Atlanta. Did I mention I had food poisoning on that airplane ride? It's a really great foodie town to boot. Although I'd like to know which restaurant gave us the gift that kept on giving. Fort Worth, lovely place. So is Chattanooga. So is Huntsville, Alabama. Greenville, Tennessee. All worth a stop if you come down below the Mason-Dixon line. The PCA met there for the 52nd General Assembly. It approved in a vote 1,708-28. When was the last time anything like that happened? You say, what was the vote about, Friel? The committee shall advise on whether Christian nationalism viewpoints and formulations are in conformity with the system of doctrine taught in the Westminster Standards or where they may diverge from the system of doctrine. In other words, they're going to examine Christian nationalism. Now, please note, there's a variety, just like with any philosophical or theological system, there's always going to be shadings. And I'm sure the NAR version is not the same as apparently some Presbyterian versions of Christian nationalism. Nevertheless, the PCA 52nd General Assembly, as led by one whippersnapper Kevin DeYoung, have determined overwhelmingly, we got to study this. Is this really the right way to apply church and state? And it should be fast. I can't wait to watch this study because you've got the European Statement of Faith, Westminster. You've got the updated American version, and they're different regarding church and state. Where will the PCA land on this one? What will their advice be? The committee shall write a report that gives pastoral guidance when addressing congregations, new members, and future officers of the PCA. Study well, my Presbyterian friends. We look forward to your report. Make it snappy, would you? By the way, did you catch that in the original proclamation of the study? We'll advise on whether these viewpoints and formulations are in conformity with. Now, note, it doesn't say the Bible. Don't get upset with me, my Presbyterian friends. I'll unpack that in just a second. It doesn't say conformity with the Bible. It says with the system of doctrine taught in the Westminster Standards. Now, my Presbyterian friends would immediately say, well, the Westminster Standards, they are biblical. I get that. I'm just saying, though, I'm just reading the actual document because there's an emphasis here. There's an emphasis here that is uniquely confessional. I was just reading a book, tried to read the book on the airplane ride from Dallas to Atlanta. Had all kinds of time in the Pensacola airport overnight. You know what is amazing? How God can humble you again and again? I can't tell you how many times I've walked through an airport and I've seen these poor people curled up in a ball on the floor with their head on their backpacks. And it's like, oh, their flight got canceled. Oh, those poor people, glad it's not moi. Well, it was moi sleeping on the airport floor. I tried to read this book by Carl Truman. Now, he is an Orthodox Presbyterian and he's super fine writer. He's such a good thinker. And he wrote a book called Crisis of Confidence, Reclaiming the Historic Faith in a Culture Consumed with Individualism and Identity. And the entire book, it's not that long. It's only 6 chapters long. What is it, like 150 pages? To promote the confessional statements, to use those as a guide, to use those to help us make decisions on moral issues, on church polity issues. Now, again, I want to defend my Presbyterian friends against the accusation that that's not being sola scriptura. They would argue, yes, it is, because those confessional statements are so based on the Bible. Nevertheless, it is a different way to promote, to process your systematic theology, to make sure that before you render a verdict on whatever the issue might be, you check the confessional statements to make sure that you're in conformity to those. Now, I'm not that confessional. I do believe confessions are important. I agree with Carl Truman on that. They are, if they are done faithfully and well, they are correct summaries of biblical theology. And they are helpful for that. And Presbyterians would acknowledge this too. They're not infallible, but they find them very helpful. And with that, I actually agree. they do help us to determine, well, how are we supposed to deal with this today? Because, yeah, the window dressing, it changes a little bit. Perhaps the wrapping and the ribbons and the bows are a little different than they were 500 years ago. Nevertheless, isn't it good to go back to the old paths, to go back to the old ways, and to study, well, how have we been doing this? And how then should we be doing it today? And as long as those confessional statements rightly represent what the Bible actually teaches on that, they can be helpful. Now, it's going to be interesting to see which side of the coin regarding Christian nationalism the Presbyterian Church General Assembly lands on. Because if you take the European model, it's going to be more of a Christian nationalistic affirmation. If you take the American version, church and state separation. Hurry up, my Presbyterian friends. This is Wretched Radio.